Today I've got a story to tell you that's a real Oregon mystery. Specifically, it's a Corvallis mystery. And I'm just still hoping against all hope that one of you guys out there listening to this actually knows the answer to this mystery, because I've been trying to figure it out since July 30th, 2009, when this article first came out in the papers. Hi, my name's Finn J.D. John. It is Tuesday, May 15th. And I'm reading a column today from the archives of the weekly newspaper column I write, Offbeat Oregon History. I do this every day, and of course, if you're subscribed to this podcast, you know that. And if you're not subscribed to this podcast and you'd like to know a little bit more about it, well, check it out on offbeatoregon.com. So today's headline ran in the newspapers, like I said, on July 30th, 2009, under the headline, Corvallis Man's Cattle-Powered Riverboat Didn't Work Out. Here we go. Corvallis today has a bit of a reputation as one of the state's leaders in alternative power transportation. Of course, as is the case in East Eugene and in Portland's Pearl District, it seems like every other car that drives by on the streets is a Prius. But it's more than just that. Each year at Da Vinci Days, a bunch of crazy people with super powerful welders and nothing better to do enter a contest to drive a human-powered, quote, kinetic sculpture through various obstacles, and tiny electric cars scream through the streets in a race. An Oregon State University Engineering Department team participates every year in the solar car race across the North American continent. It's a town that takes its alternative transportation technology pretty seriously. But most people don't know how far back into the past that propensity goes. Corvallis is, after all, an engineering town, more so than any other Oregon city. Engineers are always thinking about things like this. That's as true today as it was 150 years ago, just before the Civil War, when a Corvallis inventor had cooked up an idea for a riverboat that could go where no boat had gone before. Into Harney County, where there are no trees or coal deposits. Well, it could do that if there were a river in Harney County, anyway. Okay, never mind. But anyway, this boat was a paddle wheel outfit, a small side wheel flatboat, nothing unusual about that, but it needed no wood and no coal to fire its boilers. In fact, it didn't have any boilers. All it needed was a team of oxen on a treadmill and a small mountain of hay. The cattle would lumber along as if walking down the middle of the river, turning the mechanism, which would spin in the side wheels. It's not magic, it's science. The inventor christened his vessel the Hay Burner, or perhaps his critics christened it that. It's not quite clear. So the Hay Burner left Corvallis for its maiden voyage to Oregon City one summer day in 1860. As it neared the then-thriving town of Wheatland, near present-day Salem, the boat hung up, or rather walked ashore, as Corning wisecracks in his book, on a gravel bar at McGugan's Slough. It was at this point that one major drawback to the hay-burning system became apparent. A regular coal-burning boat used no fuel when it wasn't underway. On the other hand, with nothing to do but eat, the oxen ramped up their fuel consumption considerably while the crew worked to get the boat off the rocks. By the time they were back underway, a passing steam-powered riverboat had pulled it free with a hawser, the engines had wolfed down most of the fuel. What exactly happened to the fuel after the cattle had eaten it? Well, on this point, the historical record, very thin as it is perhaps mercifully silent. One hopes someone was fast enough with a shovel to keep the fresh spent fuel from revolving under the treadmill and gumming up the works, but then, knowing Corvallis engineers, there was probably some sort of provision made for that. In any case, the Hay Burner finally made it to Oregon City, where the pilot stocked up on more hay. But when it was time to head back upstream, he made an awful discovery. The poor cows could not generate enough power to push the boat upstream against the current, no matter how much they ate. And thus ended the maritime career of the cattle, which were sold off in Oregon City, and the reputation of Corvallis as a hot spot for innovative naval architecture. The Hay Burner was allowed to go over the falls. But now we come to the interesting part. I have searched in vain for the name of the inventor of this vessel. Corning merely refers to him, sarcastically one presumes, as a, quote, genius. If any of you folks listening to this know who this fellow was, I would love to hear from you. Drop me a note at finn@offbeatoregon.com, and I'll pass the information along in a future podcast. By the way, when I refer to Corning, I'm talking about Howard M. Corning, who wrote the book Willamette Landings, Ghost Towns of the River, published by the Oregon Historical Society in 1947. That's it for today. You've been listening to an archive from the Offbeat Oregon History column. If you'd like to hear more, you can read hundreds of columns from the last 4 years on our website, offbeatoregon.com, where you can also subscribe to get these podcasts delivered straight to your smartphone every day via RSS or iTunes, or join the conversation on the Facebook page or Twitter feed using links on that page. This column's covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. See offbeatoregon.com/cc for details. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of something, look me up. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs, especially when there's coffee and or good Irish stout involved. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Oh, one other thing. My book, Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, is coming out on June 5th. If you enjoy this podcast, chances are pretty good that you'll like it. I'd like to invite you to take a look. The website's up at wickedportland.com. That's wicked-portland.com. If you really get excited, you can pre-order the thing for something like $14 on Amazon. Anyway, have a great day.